If you received a white sheet this evening that shows a chart for dividing up domestic responsibilities, that's good. I don't have enough of them to go around. What I'm going to ask is for every family take one. Of course, if you're not sitting with your family, you'll want to keep one. But if you have an extra one, if you'll hold that up, we'll move it back to some people at the back that did not get these. If any family has more than one of these, just hold it up and let come. Some of these young men will help us. I wasn't calling Gary a young man, but anyway, Gary's going to help. It's my fault. I was supposed to make more copies of these and didn't do it. So I see Gary's going to the copier. So when he comes back out, he'll have some to pass out. But we're going to go on. We've got to time-wise. Talking about the domestic responsibilities in the household, we found that there was a great difference between the husband's view of what takes place in the domestic aspect and what the wife believes takes place in the domestic aspect. However, as we are working on this, we've got to bring those two views down together. Matter of fact, it's what you have here. You have a husband that looks at something that's outside of the realm of reality. If you understand what we talked about this morning, we talked about him fantasizing such an activity. So in his fantasizing, he's outside of reality one way. But what happens is sometimes the wife finds herself outside of the reality on the other way because of all the burdens and the pressures that are placed upon her in the domestic responsibilities. And what we're going to do tonight is talk about how we can bring those two closer together. How in the home can help, and specifically to start with the husband and wife because they're the first two in the home, and then later the children and even grown children can work to bring the reality together so that we get to a point where we can function domestically together in the home. Now, we might live in a home that fails to function domestically together. If you do so, you're going to find a lot of things dysfunctional in that home. Now, it might be the case that you learn to live with those dysfunctional aspects in the home. That happens in many, many homes. However, the fact is, the closer that we can bring those two together, the more at peace we're going to be with each other in that home, and the more the function of that home is going to work properly. The less problems there's going to be in the domestic realms in that home. Now, as we go back and look at the domestic responsibilities in the home, we might raise the question, who should fulfill the domestic responsibilities of the home? And the answer to that question is a variety of questions. First of all, husband and wife. The wife should fulfill domestic responsibilities, and the husband should share domestic responsibilities. Now, what we have to understand in going into a marriage is often as we go into a marriage, neither party understands the fulfillment of domestic responsibility today. What so frequently has happened, even on the wife's side, is that the mother has fulfilled the domestic responsibilities to such a degree that she has not taught the wife how to fulfill domestic responsibilities. Sometimes wives will enter marriage and not even know how to cook anything. I lived the first several years on macaroni and cheese and peanut butter. Today, she's a much better cook than that. But sometimes the wife comes into the home without the understanding of what all domestic responsibilities requires of her. And sometimes the young man comes into the home not having ever done anything domestically. I mean, some of them come into the home, their mothers have even picked up their dirty socks off the floor each morning. It's that bad that they've been taught that little about domestic responsibility. And so, because we have this lack of teaching of domestic responsibility in childhood, that lack of domestic responsibility comes into the marriage, and the couple somewhere in the marriage are going to get hit hard with the fact that life requires a lot of everyday tasks. Matter of fact is, life requires a lot of everyday tasks that are mundane. You know, I feel for the every housewife because she does the same thing over and over. And what happens when the last dish is washed? Another dirty one's already sitting on the counter. You know what happens when all of the clothes are finally clean? The hamper's already filling up. And so this task that takes place on the domestic level is an everyday job. And you let the wife get sick and watch what happens in the home. You let the wife take a vacation and watch what happens in the home. And so, you know, we have a great dependence, but what we need to recognize is both husband and wife have domestic responsibilities. And they have to take care of their domestic responsibilities, or they put an undue burden on the other. The wife has a tremendous domestic responsibility if the husband won't lift a finger at home. And she will be overburdened by that if it does not happen. Secondly, juvenile children. All children should be taught domestic responsibilities. When we fail to teach our children to take care of their responsibilities in the home, we are destined that child to fail in life. We're destined that child to grow up in life without learning basic self-respect and caring for self. So the juvenile responsibility is very important. We'll talk more about them. Adult children who remain in the home. When you have adult children who grow up and stay in the home or 4 or 5 years later surprise you and come back to the home, I say that from a personal aspect, then that adult child has certain responsibilities that they also need to take place and share inside the home. Goes farther. If you have a long-term visitor in the home. Now, as a preacher, I've had different kinds of relationships with this. I have had times that I've had individuals to come and to be a temporary situation, to stay in the home with us, and that temporary situation strung out into several days or weeks. If someone comes into your home to stay in your home, they should have responsibilities in the home also. No one should be allowed to stay under the roof of the home and excuse themselves to be lazy. If they're going to stay for a long term, they also need to take responsibility in the home. If we're going to function properly in our homes, the irresponsibility cannot be tolerated. Now, when I make that statement, someone's going to say this to me. Well, you can't always make everybody that stays in the home do what needs to be done. No, you can't. But you can sure jerk away the extras till it hurts bad enough that they'll do what's required. We'll talk about that. All right, so you have now at your hands, most of you at least, an evaluation chart. And this evaluation chart is designed to help us determine who does what in a home. Now, I do not suggest that if your home's running smoothly about who does what, that you go home and try to rework it. Matter of fact is, if it's running smoothly in the home, you might do more damage to try to rework it than you would to just simply leave it alone. But on the other hand, if you're in a home where, and I guess I'd ask the wife this, is where I'd start. I'd go to the wife and I'd ask the wife, are you satisfied with the way the domestic responsibilities are being met in our home? And if she says no, then you might need to do an evaluation about who's doing what in the home. And so what this chart is about, it's about a way to help decide who does what chores in the home. On this chart, the first column you have specific task list. And in this column, you need to list the tasks specifically. Don't generalize. Matter of fact is, counselors who use this particular chart say that it takes several days just to get the specific task listed. That you might work for 5 or 6 days or over a week and do nothing but just list the task that you're going to talk about because there's literally that many specific tasks in the home. In other words, don't generalize. Don't say carry out the trash. You know what happens in a home if you tell the teenager carry out the trash? It gets awful high before they, matter of fact is, you go to them and say you're supposed to carry out the trash. Oh, I will, I'm going to. The trash already flowing out on the floor. And you say, go carry out, it's your responsibility to carry out the trash. Oh, I'm going to carry out the trash. You know, now it's as high as the trash can is on the outside of the trash can in the home. So we've got to take these tasks, we've got to specify them. You are to carry out the trash each day. You're to carry out the trash every other day, morning and evening. In other words, specify exactly what is to be done and when it is to be done. If you're not going to specify the task, then you're going to leave yourself open for a lot of misunderstanding about what is to take place. Matter of fact is, the wife's understanding of a specific task often is very different than the husband's understanding of a specific task. If you told the husband, sweep the floor when it gets dirty, what are you laughing for? Because his understanding of what the floor is to be dirty is a different understanding. You know, my understanding of what the floor is to be dirty might be if I got mud on my feet and I tracked a big tracks of mud in. As you know, the floor looks pretty good for several weeks at a time if it was me having to sweep it. And so if we don't specify when these tasks are done, then we don't accomplish them. Secondly, tell how frequently the task is to be accomplished. This kind of ties a little bit to what I've already said. But if we don't put the frequency on there, we don't have the full expectation of the task. So be sure to specify the frequency. Thirdly, tell who desires for the task to be done. Now, this gets down a little bit to the nitty-gritty of it. You know, there are tasks that both husband and wife sees that need to be done, and both husband and wife desires it to be done. There will be some tasks around the home that only the wife will see, and she'll be the only one that will put the task down, so her name will go down there as the one desiring it to be done. There are a few tasks that only the husband will desire to be done. So we put down who desires the task to be done. Now, there's a law in this little chart. This chart actually is built for the husband and wife. And when you get down to talking to juvenile children especially, if it means work, they don't see a whole lot necessary to be done. So they like to exclude themselves by saying, well, I don't see it. You know, if you ask a child, say, what do you think needs to be done in a home as far as domestic, as far as keeping the home clean and what have you? They're not going to tell you very much. So in actuality of the chart, you're going to have to come down and specify some of the responsibilities to the juveniles in the home because they're not going to pick these up themselves. Next, you rate the importance of the task. A scale of 0 to 5. The wife rates the task. The husband rates the task in two different columns. On a 0 to 5 rating, you're going to rate how important do I believe that it is that this task is done in the home. If I think it's very important, I'm going to rate it 5. If my wife thinks it's very important, she's going to rate it, and it's going to come out of 10. And guess what? The 10 tasks are tasks that absolutely must be done. Because neither one of you are going to be satisfied, going to find any comfort in the home unless those tasks are done. However, it might be the case that you'll find a task that the woman rated 5 and the man rated 0. And then what do you do? Well, we'll have to talk about that. But anyway, that's going to occur. So as you rate these tasks, all different things are going to come. But then you're going to give a combined importance. You're going to give a total number, summing up the two. And then you come down to the tough part. You're going to sign the task. You're going to actually come down on the form, and you're going to write on the form, this is who's going to do this task in our home. First of all, to decide that, you're going to offer preference. Out of these tasks that are listed, which ones do you prefer to do? Now, preference is a funny thing. There are some things you're going to find out your mate prefers to do because they don't want you doing it. It's like, you know, I talked about this morning, washing the clothes. Elaine would choose to wash the clothes rather than have to clean up the mess that happens after I wash the clothes. So she would prefer to do that, not because she prefers washing clothes, just because she prefers not cleaning up what was left over after someone else tried. So you go through preference. You go down the list, first of all, husband and wife, choosing which ones you say, well, I want to do that one. I want to do that one. I want to circle all the ones, pick out all the ones, assign all the ones that are done by preference, the ones that you choose to do. So, you know, this is, again, a task that you one doesn't want the other one to do, task you like to do. There may be something on the list that's something that you just like to do. And then you look at the desired by only one mate wants them to be done. If you find an item that only is desired to be done by one mate, that mate does the task. Now, sometimes that gets a little difficult, because sometimes a mate likes to determine what they want the other mate to do. But in this list, if you come down with a 5 on one side, a 0 on the other side, the one that put the 5 comes out and does the task unless the two make an agreement to do otherwise. A lot can be done with that. Then, the tasks that remain are tasks which have both names on them, equal ratings. You can just simply divide those tasks. First, you know, you can go down the list. This one's mine, that one's yours, this one, you know, all the way down the list. Just simply divide them. And then if you have any that remain, then you can sort them out to the mate that wants them to be done the most. So if you work this chart in these ways, you can work through most of these tasks. Now, as you do this, what about this task that the mate wants done but doesn't want to do it? And I tried to think of an example of that, and I'm going to embarrass my wife again, but that's all right. Over our lifetime, we've lived in several old farmhouses. And we've had mice. And, you know, you trap the mice. And you've got to get rid of the trapped mouse. You can't just leave it in the house in the trap, you know. Well, that's a task that she would rate as 5, to get rid of the mouse. But you know what? She's not about to do it. I've done learn that. So we have to work out some kind of a comparison here. So first thing you do is when this mate wants this task done, you ask them, how badly do you want that done? Now, they're going to tell you on a scale of 0 to 5 how badly they want that task done. Now, this gets real interesting. I mean, you want to really do some bargaining with your mate. Because if they really want that task done, and it's really highly important to them, you know what? Do it for them. I take mice out for her. And you know what that does? It puts a deposit in your love bank. If they really want it done, and you do it for them, it puts money to your account that you can use later on for some other purpose. Now, if this sounds a little conniving, it's not meant to be, but it works that way. Now, on the second hand, if there is some task that they want done and they don't rate it highly, don't do it for them. I mean, if it's not going to pay off, don't do it. If they don't want it that badly, they're not going to be thankful for you doing it. Let them do it themselves. I mean, they're the one that wants it done. So you got two ways that you can deal with this. But, you know, put it in perspective. If it rates really highly on their chart of wanting it done and they don't want to do it, put those deposits in that love bank. Otherwise, forget it and move on. And both parties go on. If they want it done but it doesn't really to them, they'll do it. Sooner or later, and just let them do that in this respect. All right. So then, if you look at children need to be assigned some specific domestic chores. I don't care what age the child is. When they are old enough to begin to walk and old enough to begin to talk, they're old enough to be taught some responsibilities. And the first responsibilities you teach them is taking care of their own things. Put up your toys. And friends, I don't care how small they are. If they can get toys out and they can stow toys over the whole house, they can learn to pick toys up and put them back in the box, put them back in the sack, put them back in the closet, or wherever they got them from. And if we fail to teach them that responsibility at a very young age, then we miss an opportunity that we're going to pay for later on. So, you know, they need to take care of their own things. Start out with their own clothes. By the time the children are functioning in the house, talking, visiting, playing, teach them to pick up their clothes. Put their clothes in a specific place. Put their dirty clothes in a specific place. Teach them to put theirs there also. Teach them to pick up their clothes when they get ready for bed at night. Teach them in the morning to put their bed clothes in a specific place, and teach them also to make up their own bed. Now, sometimes, somewhere between this young age, this toddler age, in high school, you have to go through all this again. I don't know why. Sometimes you have to go through it again and again and again. But if you don't teach them domestic responsibility in your home, they're probably not going to learn it. And so also expect them to take care of their room. I know it's their room, but their room is in your house. You know, I hear parents sometimes say, well, it's their room, I don't care what they do in it. You better care what they do in it. I have other parents tell me, it's their room, it's private, I don't interfere with their privacy. You better interfere with their privacy. On a juvenile child, you better know what's going on. Why in America have we turned completely blind eyes to what our children do in our home and then wonder what happens when they hit the teenage years and they get involved in things that we didn't even know was going on? And so to take care of the room. And so children should be held responsible for helping take care of collective responsibilities. They don't just live in their room. Last time I checked, the children eat at your table also, don't they? If they eat at your table, the dishes are brought to the table, expect them to help clear the table. One rule that we had in our home was nobody leaves the house after a meal until the table's cleared. The rule was that mother does not have to carry the dishes to the kitchen to put them in the sink. They're carried there by the people who ate out of them. This is simply teaching responsibility to the individual to take care of his own messes, to take care of the things that are used in his prospect of living. Also, we need to recognize the aspect of collecting, carrying out the trash, helping with the yard work, cleaning common areas. Get the children to help with these things. And guess what, children? Get older, the more responsibility you should have. We're failing our children, and we're failing them desperately because we have low expectations for them, and we give them nothing to live up to. Raise the expectations. Get them to live up to the expectations, and they'll live a life of seeking expectations that are higher than where they are that day. So it's a very important thing to get them involved in these things. Now, if children do not help with domestic chores, it's a question that always comes up. They learn to be sloppy and lazy. They learn they need to lose their privileges. Now,
someone said, well, I don't have any privileges.
Okay, let's evaluate that. Privilege is anything that you have besides food, shelter, and clothing. That's necessities, privileges, everything else. Now, do you have any privileges? Do you have anything in life besides food, shelter, and clothing? If you have privileges, you have privileges that can be lost. If your child does not do their responsibilities in the home, they lose their privileges. I don't care if the privilege is a telephone, a computer, internet, TV, radio, extra special nice clothing. It didn't say, you know, the Bible doesn't have to provide for them that what they call it, that name brand clothing with all the extra marks on it to meet so they look like everybody else. They got a lot of privileges today. A lot of privileges that can be taken. Let's understand something. Biblically, the parent is not obligated to provide a single privilege. Your responsibility as a parent is to provide the necessities and train the child in the way it should go, using those necessities. Everything else is extra. And sometimes we let the extra rule instead of common sense rule in the home. And as the child grows up and he reaches the teenage years, he's got even more privileges that he's been given. Every privilege is something that can be used to get the child to fulfill his responsibilities. I had one that, maybe two, corporal punishment didn't work with. I can remember one time of spanking one of the boys. And he wouldn't cry. He was so dead set. I mean, he was... There was nothing you were going to do physically to make him cry. But you could jerk the privilege of going outside away from him and he'd go into a hysterical ball because he couldn't stand not being able to go outside. Going outside's a privilege that can be withdrawn. And when you withdraw privileges, you know what you do? You get attention. And you get attention rapidly. Attention that will hear when you say, fulfill your chore. Do your task. So it's not wrong to have something behind this and have this expectation that they do this. And, you know, I don't think it's wrong if that child loses every single privilege they have. If they're willing to live through it, that's fine. It's not your God-given duty to provide for them these privileges. It is your God-given duty to them to be responsible, regardless of the cost. Okay, and then sometimes beyond that, we have children who are adult children that stay in the home. I'm going to be kind as I can be with this. Adult children actually have no God-given rights to remain in the home. Now, it may very well be that they are there because of the grace of the parents. And some parents are very graceful. They'll let their grown children stay at home. That's fine. If it works well for the parent, it works well for the child, it's by God's grace that the parent has done that. And sometimes it works out wonderfully. But let me suggest to you also that if it's not working out, remember it's by grace that you're allowing them to stay there because they have no inherent right to be in your home. They have a right in it to go and make their own home and carry their own responsibilities. Now, if they stay in your home, they should be very active in helping with the domestic responsibilities. They should not be using your home to free them to be lazy from taking care of their own things. Now, if you're letting them have this space by grace, it is a privilege by which they're staying there. If it is a privilege by which they're staying there and they will not fulfill their responsibilities, what do you do with the privilege? You remove the privilege. In other words, if they won't fulfill their responsibilities, remove the privilege of them staying there and let them go on their own to fulfill the responsibilities for their own care. In other words, they must take responsibility in the home or they must move on. Now, someone says, well, preacher, that's awful difficult. That's awful hard. Tough love is always hard. But tough love is sometimes the only things that make our homes be what they need to be. Tough love sometimes is the only thing that will encourage people to do what they need to do. Now, if you ask that adult child because they won't fulfill their responsibilities in the home, if you remove the privilege of them staying in the home and you ask them to find a place of their own, that's not unloving. They may threaten you with that. Well, you don't love me anymore, as they pout and walk out the door. It's not unloving. I'll tell you what's unloving is for you to make every provision in their life for them and then die someday, leaving them without the ability to carry out the responsibilities of caring for themselves. That's what's unloving. So we need to help these people. If again, I'm talking about in a place where it's become dysfunctional, where the adult child has moved in and not fulfilling their responsibilities. We need to remember that an adult child can move in and work quite well in the homes. I've known many homes where that's been the case. I've known many where it's not been the case. Okay, so if we look at a biblical directive concerning responsibilities, the Bible tells us to be responsible. Paul said, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." 2 Thessalonians 3:7. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor, travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." My friends, if the Apostle Paul took this and he applied this to Christians dealing with Christians, does not it also apply in our homes? And look at what he says here. First of all, he says that it is a fact one should not enter into another's house or another's life to enter to eat that person's bread. One should not work or be disorderly among the others. One should take care of his own self. He should not be chargeable to others. One should be in such a way that he would work for his own food, for that he is given. We need to turn to this expectation. In passing that verse, I frequently think about benevolent request. I have no trouble with the church supporting those who are truly in need. Galatians 5th chapter tells us that, 5 and 6, tells us that. But the church has no place in supporting people that will not work, that are just lazy. And so here we get that teaching. We turn that teaching back and apply it again into the home. Our domestic tasks should not interfere with our religious responsibilities. You remember in the case of Mary and Martha, and they had this problem. One went to listen to Jesus, and the other went ahead with her housework. I have seen Christian women that did not attend worship but to stay home to clean because they were afraid someone would come to visit after worship. Now, it might not be the case. I mean, it might be the case that her house needed to be cleaned. But it did not need to be cleaned during the worship time. We take care of our domestic responsibilities without that interfering with our spiritual responsibilities. And so, in that respect, she has to learn to take care of those things at the right time. The husband needs the wife to support him domestically. That is one of his needs. We also know that the husband can help the marriage if he will turn and be considerate and help her in the domestic labor of the home. And the home will function better if every individual in the home fulfills their responsibilities domestically. There's no need, when there's able-bodied people in the home, for the wife and mother to be worked to death. Each need to share in the responsibilities, while the main responsibilities domestically are hers. She's the watcher of the house. She's the watcher of the children. She is the one that looks at the home and perceives this needs to be done, that needs to be done, this needs to be taken care of. And much of the time, to avoid conflict, she simply does, too much of the time, all of it. Take the time, mothers, to train and teach responsibility to those who are in your home. Thank you to wives and mothers for all the domestic that they give. And no one ever says, we appreciate it. As you watch the home, so must you watch the life. As you watch the life and give consideration to the life you live, are you watching the life not just in terms of the physical, but are you watching in terms of eternity? Are you looking beyond this world, waiting for the coming of Christ, prepared because you've met your responsibilities before Him? He could come tonight as we stand and as we sing.
To Him will He find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talent, will He answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In His glory they shall share. He shall come at the dawn or midnight. Will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come.
You may be seated. Table's been left spread for those who have not had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would stand or raise your hand, we'll be glad to serve you at this time.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this bread, which as Christians represents Christ's body, which hung on a cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, that you bless this bread and bless those who partake of it, that may do so in a way that be pleasing to thee. As to give us our sins, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
In like manner, Father, we continue our thanks upon this cup, the fruit of the vine, which is a representation of thy Son's blood, which was so freely shed for our sins on the cross. Father, we ask you bless it and bless those who partake and help their minds to continue on the life and the sacrifice that Christ made for us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings you give us each and every day. We're thankful for the health opportunity we have to be out and make a living. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be at these as they give back at this time that they may give with a cheerful heart. We ask you to give us our sin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 55 will be our closing hymn. Number 55, if you would please stand. Sing the first and last verse.
Take time to be holy, speak oft of thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive be in his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love,
I forgot to give Ron the announcement. Edith's nephew passed away Friday. His burial will be tomorrow at 1. Visitation was this evening from 2 to 8, so there won't be any chance of getting down there. Is it? He is at Gardenville Funeral Home, and I thought I'd let you know about that. As Larry Gentry was his name.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this another day that Thou hast blessed us with. We thank Thee, Father, for the lessons that that David is presenting to us. Pray, Father, we can learn from these lessons and have more responsibilities in our households. Ask Thee, Heavenly Father, that You will be with those who have lost their loved ones. Pray, Father, that You'll comfort them, and as only You know how. We thankful, Father, for those who have been sick of our number or are better and are out. Thankful for them. Pray, Father, for those who are sick, that You will comfort them as only You know what they stand in need of. We ask that You will forgive us for our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.